This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report
with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Ruthie Polinsky kind enough to sit in for David this morning, and here is a full cycle moment here where our guy who started the week will help us close it out. Brad Biggs joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. He, of course, is the great football man of the Chicago Tribune and a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. Big Z!
Morning, gang. What's going on?
I told Biggs yesterday at Hallis Hall that I loved him on the radio on Monday filling in. And I think he should do it more.
He's excellent. There's no doubt about it. And it's a little embarrassing to have people like, why isn't Biggsy in? Why are you here? It was a bad reaction. You ruined my reputation as a radio guy, Brad. I hope you're happy. John Heyman wants to talk some baseball.
I'm looking forward to David's return, though, from I'm sure he's in Indiana.
Oh, I think he was going to go to Indy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was.
What else would one do? So help us out here, Brad. You know, we were having a nice conversation earlier this morning about the things that kind of stood out to you. Was there any singular moment or anything said? I really liked hearing Dennis Allen call the improvements on the defensive line a good start, because we all know that you could justify taking a defensive end in every draft, a defensive tackle in every draft. You love having those guys, and you can never have enough of them.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's got to be as a start. Like, who are we kidding? They didn't play well defensively last year. Mm-hmm. They were poor in most areas. They were somehow good in the red zone when they struggled with a lot of other things, but they played poorly enough last year defensively to look at it and say, hey, they need some talent upgrades. Like, the idea that scheme is going to fix offense and fix defense is really a mistake, I think. You know, and I thought Declan Doyle said something interesting yesterday. Not to change the subject, but he said, you know, it's not like Ben Johnson's scheme is what's going to propel the Bears. It's a commitment to the fundamentals of the players. You know, that it's the playbook isn't what's winning. The play calling isn't what's winning. It's execution of the fundamentals on the plays that are being called. So they still need to gather some more talent on both sides of the ball, and then they need to be more fundamentally sound to be a better football team. This is a 5-win football team. There's a lot of room for improvement.
Brad, I'm so curious. I felt like yesterday was the first time we got to see the new coaching staff sort of as a whole, as a picture. And it has such a wide variety of coaches, young coaches like a Declan Doyle. You have veteran coaches, former head coaches on the staff, and also, of course, all the former players. What's your assessment of just kind of the way the group is coming together? I think it's so interesting. Ben Johnson hasn't worked with a lot of these guys previously, but it just feels like a nice group that already has sort of a camaraderie building.
Yeah, I think probably one of the goals was getting a wide variety.
Yeah.
And you talked about younger guys, older guys, guys from different backgrounds, guys from the pro level, guys from the college level. Because mm-hmm. when you look at your locker room, I think you often see, well, hey, we got this wide collection of guys for regionally, age-wise, you know, different backgrounds, whatever it is. So I think when your coaching staff can reflect that, that helps out. Like they've got, you know, Jeremy Garrett's the defensive line coach, primarily a college guy. So he, maybe you're hiring him thinking this is a guy that has teaching ability, can connect with younger players. But you know what? He's paired with a salty veteran there in coaching some of these D-linemen, so you've kind of got yin and yang there. That's how it appears they've designed it. You know, how it's going to work out, we've got no idea, but I enjoyed being able to kind of bounce around the room a little bit, chat with some of the different coaches and just sort of hear philosophy or what they think about current players, or just hearing from in general, kind of trying to get a feel for them. Like I said from the jump, I think Al Harris helping out the DBs mm-hmm. is going to be a terrific addition for the organization.
I'm probably linking things that shouldn't be linked, but I thought it was really interesting that, you know, Jalen Johnson has talked about traveling and covering the best receiver and staying with them. And then you heard yesterday from Dennis Allen talking about hoping to see maybe more playing time, adding another position to what the nickelback is doing. You know, very interesting that he likes Kyler Gordon and thinking of different ways of using him, whether it's not in the slot, whether it's at corner, whether it's at a safety position. I thought that, and it made me wonder, and you brought up Al Harris, but where are they with Tyreek Stevenson? Because there hasn't been a lot of talk about that. And it wasn't like, well, we got to figure out how to fix Tyreek. Maybe it's just a subject that people find unpleasant, not as positive, but it's just the absence of talk of him was interesting to me.
Yeah, I chatted briefly with Al, and I know that came up, the Tyreek Stevenson question came up for him, and he said that Tyreek was one of the favorite players in that draft class from what was it, 2023 now, that took a top 30 to the Dallas Cowboys when Al was there, thought that he really connected with Tyreek. The makeup, the background, just kind of his authentic way. Like Tyreek will tell you what's on his mind. And so I got the impression I was really looking forward to getting out on the field with Tyreek. Feels like there's a lot of talent there. So you can desire both, right? And that's for Tyreek to take the necessary step forward in terms of consistency, performance, production, attention to detail, all that in year three, and want Kyler Gordon to have the versatility to be available more often. We know that he played outside and inside as a rookie, and after that kind of focused on the nickel, which that makes sense. If you want him to become an elite nickel player, let him keep his entire focus and energy right there let him become one of the better ones at that position in the league. I don't know that he's the best. He's the highest paid now. And so he's one of the best. There's no question about that. But, you know, seek some opportunities to have him in the mix some more. But I don't believe in any way, shape, or form they're writing off Tyreek. Like, that, short of them using the 10th pick on a cornerback, like he looks like the first man up in training camp to me on the other side of Jalen Johnson.
I really loved sitting down at the table with Dan Roschar yesterday. I think I popped in right as you were asking him about Jonah Jackson and the year that Jonah had last year. And I thought his answer was so interesting and just provided some additional context, I think, to the struggles that Jonah Jackson had last year. What was your takeaway from what Dan Roschar said about maybe his dependability that people are writing off?
Yeah, Roschar, you know, he said, fair question. Like, I asked him point blank, like, do you look at 2024 as an aberration for a guy like Jonah Jackson? Or is there stuff you have to learn from that? And he's like, that's a fair question. Because he was one of the highly sought after free agents, what, 16 months ago, less than that. And it went, everything that could go wrong seemingly did go wrong in LA, starting with maybe a shoulder injury in training camp that impacted him at the start of the season, asking him to play center, which he can play, but it's not his natural position, at least in Roschar's estimation, and then quickly moving to guard, and then another injury. And, you know, he said it's a situation where, because of Ben Johnson's relationship with Jonah Jackson, I think we've talked about this quite a bit, that there's a belief and faith that, hey, the head coach has trust in this guy, has an understanding, communicates with the guy, and believes that you know, he can be a tone setter for him. And so he's gonna have to go out and prove it, though, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the reasons the Bears are in this mix. They use a second round pick on an offensive lineman that his four seasons with the Bears were defined by an inability to be available.
I also thought it was interesting what he had to say about Braxton Jones and the competition that you would have at that position because he was missing valuable time. And I don't know if he was talking about Amagaji. I wasn't there for it, but just reading through the you always wonder if there are any bread trails to follow to the NFL draft. I'm sure they know they have to come out at some point with someone that could play there. They don't want to have Tooney move that way, right? I mean, that's just not on the table.
Yeah, Tooney, that's right. I think that's a, you know, break glass in case of emergency type situation. But I thought he was positive about Braxton Jones, and he was pretty frank. He said, hey, if we don't make a move right now, as I look at it, Braxton Jones is the week one starter. You know, assuming that he gets back healthy, which they're obviously planning on, the timeline of which we'll have to wait and see. But he was kind of positive about Braxton, and he, you know, I think he called Braxton an overachiever, and he said, but that's not, don't take that as an insult. Like, that's a positive. When you say someone is overachieved, you're paying them a compliment. So, yeah, I think we're all curious about where they're going to be at by, I'd say, next Friday night, right? A little more than a week from now.
Right.
Where they're going to be at in terms of depth options on the offensive line, because it might not happen on Thursday night in round one, but you would think that that's something that they will address day two with some potential options.
I know we're sort of jumping around here, but I thought Eric Bieniemy was, you know, he kind of stole the show a little bit for me yesterday, Brad. It was really cool to, you know, you hear all these things about a man whose name has circulated the NFL for years, and then you finally get to meet him and learn about him, and his personality was, it's captivating. I just thought he shows so much personality, and you see why, you know, Andy Reid maybe describes him as, you know, one of the best leaders he's ever been around.
Yeah, he's going to be very demanding, I think, of the players, and it's a good thing. And he's an assistant on the staff that's got tangible experience. Like, this guy's been an assistant on a Super Bowl winner. He knows what it looks like, and he's spent time with a bunch of different clubs now. Like, we talk about his long tenure as a member of the Chiefs staff, but he's been in other places. So he's been in a variety of offenses. He's worked with a variety of backs, and we'll see. Most of the time, you take a running back in the draft, you plug him in. We've got a pretty good idea of what they're going to get, but that position can be coached as well.
His name may be Bienemy, but I would like to befriend him. No?
Molly.
Sorry. I was working on that, Brad.
That's so stupid.
So dumb. When we look at the draft, as you mentioned, a week away, there seem to be even more names surfacing and more thoughts on who isn't going to be going. I'm talking about quarterbacks and thoughts about, I've probably seen like seven names linked to the Bears, including maybe four offensive linemen. It's just a crazy number of different options for them. When you look at the draft and you're doing these mocks, are they going to get, is there a player on the way who is going to be an impact player? In other words, will they be spoiled for choice at 10?
I think they've got to look at this and work through it, a bunch of candidates. If one of these kind of popular names to the Bears isn't available, and one of the keys to this thing could involve Shedeur Sanders. Like, is Shedeur Sanders selected in the top nine? Because the more quarterbacks you have, obviously, the greater chance there is that one of these guys in another position filters through to number 10. So if Shedeur isn't selected in the top nine, that improves the Bears' chances there, right? So, but yeah, I got asked by our friend Sam Farmer of the LA Times the other day to do a mock draft. And he sent me the list of the nine guys, and I'm looking at the nine, and I said, Sam, I'm in the middle of something. I'll get back to you in about 5 minutes. And then after about 2 minutes, I looked at the list of nine that had gone, and it was completely I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Like, Sam had taken like all the options that would be really easy to write three sentences for Sam and say, Sam, I nailed a pick for you, buddy. Here it is, and here's why. And I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I said, geez. I said, and this is one of the scenarios that they've been having to involve discussions about for 2 weeks now, right? Like, they've got to prepare for every scenario before them in that top nine, and then find a way to get a player that comes in and is impactful, right? They need a player that's going to make them better. And I think too often we get sort of sucked into this, well, is the guy going to be a starter? Where's the need? Like, the draft isn't for necessarily the 2025 season alone. Like, you need to have a longer view of it, because if you don't get a player with the 10th pick that's an impactful player for you as you're going into the 2027 season, you know what? You busted on your first-round pick back in 2025. So more important than exactly where he plays or exactly what he's going to do this season is how does this guy fit a longer-range plan for the organization?
It's a great point. And I think that that's kind of one of the fun elements to this, because I keep thinking this is going to be not a Ryan Poles pick as much as a Ben Johnson pick. I'm very curious about that relationship and how it impacts, especially the first pick in the draft. And then I wonder to myself, well, you know, listen to Dennis Allen talk about a good start. Was he told we're going to get you another defensive lineman? You know what I mean? I'm reaching.
But. Yeah, but I mean, here's what I would say to that. Dennis Allen, listen, Dennis Allen's been a head coach multiple times.
Yep.
He's savvy and poised at the podium. Like Dennis Allen's not going to get
not giving
caught,
you anything. Making
some type of error like that. He's a smooth operator. I enjoy talking to him. I think that you can learn from him. I don't think he's one of those guys that stands up there and is gives you replies but not answers to questions. But I also think he's way more polished than to tip
reveal
the
anything.
Draft plan 8-9 days out.
Yeah, we need a guy to say something like, well, when we take the tight end, or I mean, whatever player we take.
Right. I mean, right. We'd prefer that. And you know, it's funny you say that tight end, because like, I was like, what am I going to do? Back to this
Sam
mock draft where Sam Farmer asked me, you know, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, for the sake of conversation, I'll do something different here. And I went with Colston Loveland.
We would love that.
Michigan man.
I my reasoning for Sam was, you know, the head coach is an offensive guy. They can really kind of diversify what they're doing in terms of personnel usage and with formations. So I kind of explained it, but that's really a guy that prior to that exercise, I hadn't thought a ton about with that 10th pick.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. Thank you, Big Z. Great time as always.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great weekend.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. And we will be right back. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw. We got Ruthie Polinsky this morning on The Score.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
People assuming they have information about me, that's just not true. I've been straight up with these teams from the start about where I was at, you know, starting with the money thing. You know, I told every single one of the teams I talked to, you know, it ain't about the money. I play for 10 M's. You know, I don't care. I never once said I need a multi-year deal, $30, $40 million is absolute bullshit. I said I'd play for 10. Yeah, whatever.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David will return on Monday, but Ruthie Polinsky kind enough to fill in for him this morning, and we've had a lot of fun. And now the real fun starts, because we're listening to the would-be Bears owner talking to the sleeveless punter on his show, the Pat McAfee show.
Sleeveless punter.
And I don't know. I just don't know how to balance. I told him I'd play for 10 M's. Is he going to lower himself to play for $10 million? How old is the man? He's like 47 now. 10 million, 10 M's? I mean, wouldn't you love to have a life where you just could say, well, I'll do it for 10 M's. I'll give you a break.
That wasn't even the worst part. I mean, actually just hearing that part, I couldn't even watch the full interview because of how much he grosses me out. But to put it gently, I thought the part where he's just completely bashing the Jets and going out there and criticizing Aaron Glenn, who has yet to get in front of, you know, has barely gotten in front of the full team yet. I just really, oh, you got that? You want to play it? All right.
I meet with the coach. We start talking. He runs out of the room. I'm like, that's kind of strange. I was like, then he comes back with the GM. And I'm like, all right. So we sit down in the office. And I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country. And 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something. And he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback. And I said, and I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone. If we weren't even going to have a conversation, and this is verbatim exactly how it happened. So I said, huh? And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a shit about the message.
Aaron, you poor, poor boy. Are you okay? Do you want us to stroke you on the back? Do you need a little head rub? What can we get you, Aaron? Are you going to be okay? You tone deaf. I mean, it bothers me because, you know what? It bothers me so much because Aaron Glenn is someone that the New York market, let alone, he is not just your average Joe that got the Jets job. Like, this is someone that has earned his stripes in the NFL. He was a highly sought after head coaching candidate after having an incredible NFL career. This is someone who is not just going to like walk into a room with Aaron Rodgers and get on his hands and knees and kiss his toes. Like, this is someone who has the credibility. And I guarantee you that when Aaron Glenn interviewed for that job in New York, one of the questions was, what do you want to do about Aaron? Right. And obviously the things came out about the Pat McAfee show. Was he going to be allowed to do it? Aaron Rodgers, take a freaking look in the mirror at yourself. And like, can you have any sense of the world around you? Like, are you kidding me, dude? This grossed me out so much about just sort of the way that he phrased the whole situation. Why do you need to go out and bash the Jets? If you're going to make this decision on your own, go do that in private. You can come if you want to go play for the Steelers, which, by the way, after this, these shenanigans, if Mike Tomlin still is interested in having Aaron Rodgers be a Pittsburgh Steeler, I honestly have questions for Mike Tomlin. But this just makes me so angry because, Aaron, you didn't play well last year. Like, you Listen, are not your old self.
How much money did he make off the Jets over the last 2 years?
10 M's.
And how many games?
M&M's?
it's like 50 M's or something a year. And how many games did he play, and why does he feel like the new coach, because he came to the meeting, is supposed to suck up to him?
On my own dollar. Do you have many of those, Aaron? How many dollars have you made in your career?
$381 million in the NFL.
You could have flied coach. You strapped for cash.
Tom Brady only made Tom Brady only made $317.
Yeah, because he was a teammate.
Right.
He was a team player who took a team friendly deal many times in his career because he wanted to win. What do you care about, Aaron? You.
Well, that's been a MO. I mean, there's no question about that, but I just think he can't believe that he went to a meeting and they didn't want to, like, suck up to him.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Aaron, you are you're much taller in person than I thought. You're a very powerful man. Like, it's so weird that he couldn't, the thing that bothered him wasn't that they didn't want him. Why didn't they just, I came here. Didn't they pay you all that money? Like, shouldn't you have to go in?
Right.
And wouldn't you want to say goodbye to them? But the message wasn't what he wanted to hear. So he feels like they were disingenuous by having him come in.
There's a part that you didn't play, that we didn't play, but he talks about Aaron Glenn getting in front of he was like, I don't want people looking back and thinking if I'm standing in front of the room talking to the team, I don't want people turning around and looking at you. And Aaron Rodgers was like, do you really think I'm going to undermine you as a coach? Yeah,
yeah,
we do.
Well, he's done that before.
Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, it is a really strange reaction from Aaron Rodgers.
Anyways, had to get that off my chest.
But I think that the reality is that he. I'm glad you got it off your chest. The reality is that this is a guy that views himself so differently than how he is viewed, and that is like a lack of self-awareness that really comes off of him. Like tangibly, this is a guy that, you know, who I forget who was in, he was running insults back and forth. It was like Jimmy Kimmel or something. And he just pointed out, like, this guy went to Cal, but he started at a junior college. And you know, he's not this powerful intellect that he thinks of himself as. He is not this, you know, free thinking man of the traveling people that he thinks that he is. He's not some guy that is on a different level than most humans. And also, just the idea that, like, he has these weird relationships in his life, like with his parents and his sibling and, you know, all of his weird love life. He's just a guy, as a friend of mine texted me, this is a guy you shouldn't listen to.
100%.
He's just a person. You don't really, there's no audience for his thoughts like he believes there is.
Unfortunately, we're giving it attention right now.
Only to complain about
right,
it, only
right.
to take gratuitous shots at him.
Right.
I thought you did very well with that.
Thank you. I've gotten really good my 2 days at radio.
That's great. No, you're
getting things off my chest.
You're blossoming into someone that will insult a man right to his face.
You're proud of me.
Which I love. Okay. I'm very proud of you.
Okay. I think that's honestly, like, there's a lot of criticism about the Pat McAfee show. I think it draws numbers and it is doing its job by getting a lot of entertainment. But giving Aaron Rodgers that platform, you see why. Like, here we are talking about it because it's talkable. It's entertainment and it is what it is, but.
Well, you know why he wants it, you know?
I'm all worked up now.
He likes doing that because he gets to, you know,
justify
any thought that's ever gone through his head. That's really what appeals to him. So, yeah, I just can't get worked up about it. Really can't.
I should learn from you.
I just don't. I mean, I used to think of Aaron Rodgers as like a really good quarterback. But he hasn't been that in a while. And the idea that, you know, he's told these teams he's willing to play for 10 M's. It's just.
I'll give you 10 M&Ms.
Yeah. There you go. I'll give you $10 if you leave
nothing.
Now.
Nothing. But you're right. His personality is overshading the career that was, you know, that was the best.
No
I mean,
play.
It was one of the
great
best.
Career. No question.
But his personality just makes it yucky. Ugh. Gross.
You know, I don't know. I never really warmed up to him, and this just is, it's just an awful way to go out. He is going to be so surprised if he decides to retire and like no one cares, if he decides to retire and there isn't like a celebration parade or whatever it might be.
Yeah, he's a narcissist.
Oh,
he's...
my God. And we've had enough of that in the world.
Yeah.
We need less narcissism, not more. All right. I'm pretty positive that Mark Rohde is in the building. We've got to get a chance to – Marshall Harris is here, and I believe he's working with Mark Rohde, which is excellent because he will say the word Bears like that. And also, he had a great public event last night. Our buddy Dan Wiederer and Mark Rohde together did a live Take the North podcast from the Performance Studio, which is a wonderful place, by the way. And we're going to be doing a popcorn show from there soon enough, so that's going to be fun. But it'll be good to talk to those guys and to get a rundown on what happened last night here in this very building. Mm-hmm. And we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw. We got Ruthie Polinsky. Ruthie, thank you.
Thanks,
I'll
Mully.
Do the official thank you. But
thanks
this
for
has
having
been,
me.
There's been tons of fun. Really enjoying your
good.
Company. And these shows have been rock solid. Really fun.
Oh, good.
Really fun. My life lacks fun, let's be honest. Brandon knows that. Dustin, you're
I had a few people at Hallis Hall. A few people at Hallis Hall yesterday said to me, they go, Mully was in a great mood today with you. I go, yeah, that's what I do to people.
Wait. I'm a part of the reason you don't have any fun in your life?
You're a part of my unhappiness.
I thought that's what I heard.
No, oh, Dustin. Yeah,
no, you create unhappiness. That's all I meant.
No, you don't.
We love you, Dustin. Love you. Love you like a long lost. Yeah. He's like a brother that you never want. No, you're like you're a great man, and we have a great relationship. Just it gets tense when we talk to each other. Other than that, no. Futurely, we get along.
So futurely,
that's all that matters. All right, great stuff, and we'll talk to those guys next. I'll lean on the score.
Aaron, you poor boy. Are you okay? Do you want us to stroke you on the back? Do you need a little head rub? What can we get you, Aaron?